Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
But you know all about it, the contempt, the abuse. I dare to believe that the luckless will get lucky someday in you. You won't let them down. Orphans won't be orphans forever. They will get families. That's Psalm 10, verse 14. Welcome to Orphans No More. I'm your host, Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans Ministry. Joining me today via Skype from Panama City, Panama, is orphan advocate, film producer, and foster mom, Brittany DeVries. Welcome, Brittany.
Hi.
It's wonderful to have you. Technology is amazing. You're joining us all the way from Panama. You live there with your husband, Dave, and your two biological kids and your two foster children. But let's start at the beginning. What led you to begin advocating for orphans?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because I had a dream from a very young age of starting my own orphanage. And I think, like many young Christian women, I wanted to move to Africa because that's where all the orphans live, of course, and, you know, build an orphanage there. And I don't know if it was sort of this Mother Teresa idea, but it was always in the back of my mind. But God had obviously other plans, and I ended up getting married at a very young age and moved with my husband to Panama City, Panama, not to Africa. And I already had a almost three-year-old daughter at the time, so I was a young mother with a young child in a new country with a new language, didn't know anybody, and my husband was working full-time outside of the house. So I was kind of like, okay, what do I do now? And my church was doing a volunteer program to go to local orphanages to work with children at risk and do various activities with the children. And one of the places that we were going, I started to go to on a regular basis. And the inquiring mind that I am, I really wanted to know why, you know, why the children were there. What was the backstory? How come they were there for so long? Why were biological families going in and out of the orphanage? I just started to ask a lot of questions. And so from there, basically one thing just kind of led to another where I began to know more about the situation in Panama, but I was also looking to see what was happening regionally and internationally. And I realized that there was this movement that was happening where organizations, ministries, everyone was starting to advocate for children and families, but there was a huge shift in thinking that needed to happen, and that really needed to start at the legislative level. And it just so happened that in Panama, there was a group of organizations and ministries that were lobbying for legislative change here, and I got involved. And one of the ways that I got involved in that was producing a short documentary called Dear Panama with YWAM's Voice for the Voiceless and Grassroots News. And through that, it just kind of spearheaded me being involved in the capacity of using my voice, communication through media, through film, documentary, and so on.
Wow. So what are the orphan statistics in Panama?
Well, the statistics, I can tell you what they're reporting right now. However, a lot of us here question the accuracy of the statistics. I'm sure that you've heard in most countries, numbers are underreported or not necessarily accurate. What we're hearing right now is that there's approximately 3,000 children in care, and there's around 55 institutions or orphanages in country, but only 77 of those children are in a state of adoptability, can be adopted.
And why only 77 are actually available for adoption? That sounds like such a low number.
it is a very low number, comparatively speaking, and that's because the children are getting trapped within the system.
So, and what does that mean when they're trapped in a system?
Basically, I mean, it looks different, obviously, on an individual basis from child to child, and depending on their family situation, what the circumstances were when they came into care and so on. But something as simple as changing a birth certificate can set a case back by years. A judge doesn't make a decision, a paper isn't signed in one department, another department doesn't receive a copy. All different kinds of things happen, but the results are that these children are getting lost in the system, and many of them are aging out, even though they have viable options for family.
Wow. So just paperwork can leave a kid languishing in a system for their whole childhood.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. And inconsistent procedures, judges. I mean, I even in the United States, you know, there's flaws with the foster care system, but there's also, you know, established procedures that kids aren't to be left in foster care for that whole time. And I can see with, because really in Panama, it's foster care is kind of in its infancy stages. Is that correct?
Yes. Foster care, the pilot program for foster care here began when the law was passed in 2013. And my husband and I were the first foster family in that pilot program.
Wow. Wow. Is it catching on? Are you finding that other families are beginning to be open to being foster families in Panama?
Yes, it is slowly gaining momentum. We're seeing more families that are being trained, that are receiving placements. It's definitely getting momentum for sure.
Wow. I know here in the States, we often see that foster parents, a lot of times they'll become foster parents for the purpose to eventually adopt children, or many foster parents who have had long-term placements will eventually be adopt those children when the children are released for adoption. But you had shared with me that that's not the case in Panama.
In Panama, when the law passed, one of the provisions of the new law was that it made it legal for foster parents to adopt a child in their care if that child became adoptable. Unlike the U.S. and other countries, foster parents do not receive priority, but we as foster parents would be considered as an option for a permanent family for these children.
But you said it's illegal for foster parents to adopt.
It's illegal in other countries in the region, and it was illegal here in Panama before the law passed.
Oh, before the law passed.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So now it's possible.
Now it's possible, yes.
Wonderful.
But that's not, it's not the intention of foster care, and families don't enter into foster care with a foster to adopt mentality, because the first goal in foster care here in Panama is always reunification.
Right. And that's the case here too in the States, I know. Reunification is always the goal of foster care when it's safe for a child to return home. Sadly, that doesn't always happen. Sometimes when they are reunified, they end up back in the system. And eventually, oftentimes, parental rights are terminated at some point, or parents will sign surrender their rights, and then a child becomes available for adoption. And the numbers here in the States are, I know it's over 100,000 children in foster care in the United States that are kids are available for adoption. There's like around 400,000 kids in foster care in the States, and like a quarter of them are actually available for adoption.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. The numbers are so, so high anywhere. But we all agree we want to see kids in families.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'll just remind our listeners that this is Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and joining me today via Skype from Panama City, Panama, is Brittany DeVries. Brittany is a foster mom of two children and an advocate for orphans around the world, using her creative talents as a film producer to spread awareness and to make a difference in the lives of vulnerable children. So, Brittany, you are the creative producer of some documentaries and feature films that really focus on the orphan. Tell us about your projects.
So the first one that I worked on was Dear Panama, and that is a local story. It focuses predominantly on the legislation that we were lobbying for at the time, but gives, you know, some backstory of the situation in Panama and what the children are living through. From there, I produced another short documentary, this one called A World Without Orphans, and I partnered with Diane Becker, who had worked with On Dear Panama, and she's the producer and director on A World Without Orphans. We filmed that in CAFO when they were in Chicago. We interviewed a number of advocates and people from around the world. And our goal with that particular piece was to really show the movement and how it was moving, not just in certain areas, in certain countries, but it was really a global movement, a worldwide movement to transition out of institutional care and to support families. And we partnered with iTech in producing that. Simultaneously, I was developing and writing my first screenplay with a screenwriter based in LA called Archivo Pendiente, or Pending File. And now, currently, I'm working on Scars of an Orphan with Conrad Weaver as the executive producer of Conjo Studios and Jim Pennington of Starwhite Films producing. And we're working on telling the story of Diana Prioko and her experience growing up as an orphan in Ukraine. So it's really interesting just to see how a tiny seed, a small local project, can lead to other things as God opens doors and possibilities.
That is incredible. I know I've interviewed Diana Prioko on the show I think about a year or so ago. And so there's a feature film being made about her life, and the film is going to be titled Scars of an Orphan. And I know there's a trailer, there's a trailer already produced, is that right?
There's a proof, the proof of concept trailer that we have that we did for the Indiegogo campaign.
Okay.
But we don't have the actual trailer yet.
Yeah.
But you can see all the information and kind of see who's behind the project at scarsofanorphan.com.
Yeah, that's an incredible story, because Diana was just a small kid living on the streets of Kiev, Ukraine, in such precarious position, and found help and was able to become adopted by an American family. And she's just such a lovely young woman with a heart and a passion to advocate for orphans worldwide, herself now as well. She's married and has a daughter, and an incredible story. So I really look forward to being like the first one in line to see Scars of an Orphan when that project is done.
We'll make sure that you have tickets you and your entire family.
Thank you so much. We talk about foster care and adoption all the time on this show, but we also know that not everyone is called to be a foster parent or to adopt, but there is something for every one of us to do. James 1:27 calls us to care for orphans, and that's a hands-on care for and not just care about. So, Brittany, I love what you're doing, because you're using your God-given gifts and talents to advocate for orphans. You're using media to spread awareness and make a difference in the lives of vulnerable children. So all these projects that you just talked about and the work that you're doing, how can our listeners find it and view some of your work?
So I'm on social media. I'm really active in social media and reposting latest news of what's going on internationally within the movement, sharing other media projects. I just found out about a new one today by the Catholic Relief Services. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's called A Family Torn, and it's a short piece, but a narrative piece. And you can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, under My Life Panama. And then I have both a public and a private Facebook page as well.
And the links to the films and the documentaries that you've produced. We'll put them up on our Facebook page as well, so people can check out all that you've done. I haven't seen all of them yet myself. I've seen some of them, so I'm going to watch them as well. But we'll put them up there so our listeners can check out even our Facebook page, Justice for Orphans, if they want to find those links and view what you're doing. And what is on your heart, Brittany, that you really want our listeners to really hear today on this topic?
You know, I've been thinking about this a lot, especially recently with our family. And, you know, this is obviously a very personal issue for us because we're a foster family too. And I think for me that those of us who are involved actively in the movement and are really promoting for children to be in families and for a change, systemic change, legislation, et cetera, I think we really need to focus on the concept of sustainability and really build from the ground up resources and capacity, because I think if we move quickly from one thing to the next without that, we're on really shaky ground. We don't have a strong foundation. And, you know, as you said, there's so many ways for people to be involved. They don't have to be an outspoken advocate. They don't have to be a filmmaker. They don't have to be a foster adoptive mom. But maybe they're the one at church that goes up and gives a foster mom a hug, takes them out for coffee, listens to them. You know, maybe they donate clothes or, you know, meet really practical needs. So I'd really like to see more thought go into that and really just look at it from a practical standpoint of how can we really make this a sustainable movement and really support families for the long term. Mm-hmm.
Because that's really at the crux of it, because we see children all over the world in orphanages, and I believe the statistics are pretty close to 80% of kids in orphanages actually have a living parent, at least one living parent or relative, that either cannot or will not care for them. And we know that the solution is not institutions. It's not orphanages. And we want to see kids in families. And that's an area where the church really needs to get involved.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, as well, acknowledging that statistic, really going to the root of the problems, like why are these families in crisis? And, you know, where was the church at that moment of crisis? Mm. Where were we? And really, you know, hopefully being there at the very beginning, because I feel even as a foster and adoptive parent, you're coming in the very middle of a story.
Yeah.
And you're picking up all these broken pieces. But, you know, how much more effective could we be as a church if we were there from the very beginning?
Yeah, that reminds me of Jason Johnson, who's on the staff of Christian Alliance for Orphans, and he's a big foster care advocate and speaker. And I remember him sharing a story about the, you know, the river, where, you know, if you saw, you know, these vulnerable children kind of floating down river and they need to be rescued, some people will jump in right there and rescue them. They would be like your foster and adoptive families. Some will go up to the river and try to find the point where the children are falling into the river and do something to prevent them from falling into the river. And that would really be that family preservation piece. What can the church do to support families so their children don't end up in foster care or end up in an orphanage type setting? Or there's all the way downriver when the kids age out. Oftentimes, that's where we see the church getting involved. That would be your crisis pregnancy centers, your jail ministries, your drug and rehab counseling, your homeless shelters and soup kitchens and that kind of thing. So the church is really good at kind of getting involved in the end, at the end of the river, when these there's a large population of prison inmates that were foster kids. And same thing with the homeless population and in drug and rehab. So we see the church getting involved at the end, but how much better would it be if the church got involved in the beginning before the damage was done?
Yeah, it's something that you know, it's so complicated and there's so many moving pieces, but I'm really hopeful for the future and what we're able to do when we ask these questions.
Yeah, that's, and I feel like, you know, there are places in the world where, you know, an orphanage situation might be the only safe and viable option, at least temporarily, for a child. So we don't want to completely throw the baby out with the bathwater, but that's not the goal. That's not the ultimate solution. The real solution and best practice needs to be getting these children into families.
Yes.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you.
Wonderful. So what do you think, Brittany? What do you think as the movement is moving? What are you seeing? Are you seeing results? Are you seeing that the church globally is getting involved?
I am seeing results. Just like you, you know, being involved with Christian Alliance for Orphans, the World Without Orphans movement, I see that there's a more concerted effort to bring about change and that there's more partnerships that are happening globally and we're sharing a lot more information from country to country. I see a lot of new foster care programs that are popping up, pilot programs in different countries where there was no other option other than orphanages and institutions. And so I feel like the range of services for children, for families is growing, but we just need to keep those open channels of communication between countries and share what we're learning and get the local church involved in, you know, every way possible. And I am seeing that a lot. So it's really encouraging, and you're seeing it more in media as well. I'm sure some of your listeners have seen it even in their newspapers. I know the Boston Globe was reporting a lot about orphanages and children in care. So it's happening. Change is coming.
Change is coming. Because for so long, I think that the mentality, the mindset was of the church was, oh, yes, let's help orphans. Let's build an orphanage. Let's fund an orphanage, that kind of thing. And or let's go on missions trips and volunteer at an orphanage. And while those things seem, you know, seem really good and kind, it just took the focus off of the ultimate goal, and that is really real help, real solutions, and best practice is getting these kids into families and not leave them languishing in an orphanage. And I think that the awareness, I agree with you that we're seeing more of an effort of the body of Christ. The church is starting to rise up and recognize that, and we're seeing more family preservation programs and more of that best practice, and we want to see kids in families through adoption, through foster care, through preventing them from even being in a situation that would lead them into an institution. So I'm excited to see, you know, what's the future of this movement and for seeing kids actually in families and no longer in orphanages. So I just want to thank you again. Thank you so much, Brittany, for being on the show, and thank you for all that you are doing to help bring that awareness, using media to bring that awareness and to just educate the body of Christ. That's one of the things we try to do with this radio program, is to educate the body of Christ about this great need, about the situation locally and globally, and about ways that they can get involved, inspire them to do something with their God-given gifts and talents like you're doing. There's something for everybody to do. So thank you so much for what you're doing there in Panama and your impact around the world too.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really encouraged by your radio show and the people that you're interviewing and helping to get the word out.
Yeah, that is our passion here at Justice for Orphans and on Orphans No More. So, Brittany, again, let us know how our listeners can find you on social media.
So I'm on social media as My Life Panama on Twitter and Instagram. I'm on Facebook. You can find more information about Scars of an Orphan at scarsofanorphan.com. You can see Dear Panama on YouTube, and you can see World Without Orphans on Christian Cinema.
Wonderful. And we're also going to post links on our Facebook page to all of those films so that our listeners can check those out. So thank you again, Brittany, for being a voice to the voiceless.
Thank you.
And thank you, our listeners, for joining us today. To learn how you can care for orphans, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. Again, adoption, foster care, but you don't have to become the adoptive or foster parent. There's so many ways that you can get involved and be a part of orphan ministry, support those who are bringing kids into their families. There's something for every member of the church to do. And again, you can check that all out on our website, justicefororphansny.org. If you enjoyed today's show, you can listen to more episodes of Orphans No More right on our website. Just click on Radio Show and then click on Orphans No More, and you'll get a menu of all the different shows, the guests, and the topics. So you can listen to any of them anytime you'd like. They're 30-minute clips, and you don't even have to download them. You can listen to them right from the website. You can also help us continue our radio ministry by making a tax-deductible gift to Justice for Orphans. We're an all-volunteer-run organization, and we need your help to continue this ministry. Our mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. JFO inspires, educates, and equips the body of Christ toward adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry. I'm Sandra Flack, your host, and I would love to come to your church to share why and how we must walk out James 1:27. So to learn more or to contact me, again, go right to our website, justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.